The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It is Gil Alexander, and it is Dustin Swedelson sitting in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin, who in a minus EV move flew right into Austin, Texas, where there's a tropical storm. What's happening, man?
Well, I mean, the audience is now going through something all of our bosses go through. I don't know if you know this, Gil, but Kelly and I look alike. It's just different colors on the hair.
Oh, that's true, actually.
And
never really thought about that.
Yeah, there are many days where I receive an email meant for Kelly, and I have to reply back to John Goulet and Brian Rogers, Len Mead, Bill A.D., and I have to say, hey, wrong fat guy with a beard.
I see. Well, speaking of that, for those who don't know, Dustin is the co-host and producer of Sharp Money, which he does with Patrick Maher. Weekdays here, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right after the Lombardi line. You called yourself fat, but let's be clear, you, for those who I'm just trying to sort of relate to this audience, because I think they will know you most from your weight loss bet with Jonathan Von Tobel. Please explain the parameters of that and how that's going.
Yeah, so we are in a very long battle to lose a lot of weight, the ultimate fatness competition, we're calling it. And it basically started in February going all the way until week one of the NFL season. And
that's when it ends.
Whoever loses the most body fat percentage wins the contest.
Body fat percentage. You're not talking strictly. You're talking about weight.
Yeah, weight, yeah. Percentage. Wherever, okay. from the starting point that we began at, we have a couple weigh-ins along the way. I won the first weigh-in. I have a feeling JVT is going to win the second weigh-in, which comes up in a few weeks here.
He's very determined.
Yeah. Well, he slow played things. He waited for me to shoot my best shot. Yeah. I came out of the gates hot, and he's sitting back in the weeds now. So if you're live betting this at home, I think there is value on my competitor at the moment. However, I think in the end, I'll find a way to win this because we have until the Chiefs kick off on Thursday Night Football to start the season.
What weights did you start at?
I started at 376.1.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got out of control.
How tall are you?
About 5'11".
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is good then.
So I did a body mass composition thing to get into the weeds here for a moment. I have 124 pounds of muscle on my body.
See what he did there?
So
376. Well, what was JVT?
JVT was like 301, I think.
Okay, but it's percentage. So
yeah, he lost 18 pounds the first shot. I lost, I want to say it was like 36.
Oh, you were definitely the winner there.
Yeah, so I won the first round. It slowed up a lot.
Okay.
Also, sometimes that affirmation, the positive affirmation of winning that first one, kind of you lose your edge a bit as a competitor.
And no, you get complacent.
Yeah, no, Kelly, I know what you're going to ask now. Kelly wasn't eligible because we said no PEDs.
Right. Oh, that was exactly what I was going to ask. You read my mind. So no PEDs, and Kelly was PED.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kelly's using that Balco stuff.
All right. So the second weigh-in might be a letdown spot, or was a letdown spot.
Yeah. It's going to be the second weigh-in is July 15th, and I think he's going to kill me.
Okay. Good for the both of you. Honor system on the PEDs. Not like you guys, check by analysis of any kind. Did you happen to catch any of the Negro League tribute game at Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama yesterday?
I caught parts and chunks of it. I enjoyed what I saw, but I will add that I host a baseball podcast. Baseball is my favorite sport. I didn't know this event was happening until Monday when Adam Burke brought it up on Double Play, a baseball podcast.
Are you suggesting that Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred are not good marketers?
Well, Rob Manfred's good at a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's just all of it involves making the owners happy and not anything to do with making baseball fans happy.
I have to say about this, and I know this is, we'll get to the sports betting part of June. We'll update June most wins, and Dustin has a thought about July as well, I believe, and most wins already. But I have to say the lead up to this game, the game itself was whatever. Cardinals beat the Giants 6-5. But the lead up was unbelievable. This was not just Negro League baseball history. This was American history. And having Reggie Jackson there before the game on the desk at Fox, he went on for 2 minutes. It was amazing. I put on, as you might do, because we do this for a living, I put on my Kevin Burkhardt hat. Like, I put myself in his position, and I was like, God, I wonder if someone's in his ear saying the segment has to end or whatever, and how awkward that would be. Please let this go. And to Fox's credit, they did. And Reggie Jackson, for 2 minutes, talked about the horrible discrimination he endured there in Birmingham, and when his career, you know, had him there, and with and you can imagine with restaurants and hotels. But it is a it's a blight on American history. But it was just so fascinating, and I thought just something that folks need to hear after so much time again, lest we forget. And I just thought it was so poignant. It was so unbelievable to listen to. And by the way, Barry Lamar Bonds, you know, Willie Mays godson, Willie Mays, who, of course, started at this ballpark at Rickwood Field when he was 17 years old. Willie Mays did playing for the Birmingham Black Barons. Barry Bonds became Willie Mays' godson at the age of 5, and he was super emotional. And I thought for him, a guy who is usually testy with media, probably the most charming he's ever been. And I think we have some sound from Barry.
Well, we'll in a moment.
Oh, wait, I'm so sorry.
See, getting it set up. Yeah, but Barry Bonds, you know him well, obviously, from your time in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And very curmudgeonly, very angry, but also aggressive ahead of a question normally.
Let's put it this way. I walked by him one time on Union Street in San Francisco, and what he exuded was, do not talk to me if you intend to. Right? You felt it. You're like, okay, there's not going to be any contact here.
Yeah, look.
A lot of that.
Also, if we're being fair, everyone talks about an asterisk with Barry Bonds. Babe Ruth deserves an asterisk more than Barry Bonds.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
That's right. And so, I mean, look, I just thought that this was such a great broadcast, and it was, if anybody can, particularly the Reggie Jackson part, if people can take time to watch that, it is well worth it. It was just 2 minutes of awesome television, and again, credit to Fox for letting that happen. As far as the, do you want to do the, we'll go to the June wins here.
Yeah.
March, April wins, May wins. You know that credit to Circa, credit to DraftKings, credit to William Hill Caesars in March, April for putting up most wins in Major League Baseball that we could bet on those. You remember the Guardians being one out away at 65-1. We don't have to rehash that. In May, DraftKings didn't do it, but Circa and William Hill Caesars did that market as well. We had the Guardians at 16-1. They went 2-5 against the White Sox and the Rockies. Probably even worse outcome, to be quite honest with you, because they should have won that. But even if they had gone, let's say, 5-2 or 4-3, the outcome might have been different. As far as the June update, we have the Astros, at least I do here, and those who have tailed. I know others have other things. I'm not sure if you're involved here, Dustin. But right now, the Orioles, as we sit here on June 21st, with 10 days left in the month, you'll see the number of games left for each of the teams on the far right of your screen. The Orioles are in the lead, 13-6, 13 wins for the Orioles, 13-6 after they destroyed Luis Gil. Luis Gil with the very predictable regression game yesterday for the Yankees. 13-6 for the Orioles, plus 54 on the run differential. Now, remember here at Circa, the tiebreakers are fewest losses than run differential. William Hill Caesars is a dead heat. Mariners and Diamondbacks right behind them at 12-6. Mets, Red Sox, Mets 11-5, Red Sox 11-6. Then you have the Dodgers and Yankees at 11-7, and then a bevy of teams at 10-7. That's where the Astros are. They're in ninth place at the current moment with a huge set against the Orioles now.
Yeah, this is massive, right?
Yeah.
This weekend's massive. You've got the Astros. They're starting a guy they brought up from Double A today.
Yes.
Guy they drafted, last year, I want to say, 2023. And then you also have the Guardians after this. The Guardians, who are all of a sudden mashing the ball for Baltimore, and then they wrap up the month with four against Texas. And look, Texas is underachieving, but if they could play to their potential against a team challenging them, right?
Yeah.
To do what they did a year ago. Yeah, Baltimore.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're talking three against Houston, three against Cleveland, four against Texas. You're still live here with the Astros if the Astros can win this series.
If they can win the series, I think you hit it. If you don't win two of three, you're done.
No, you're done.
But I said that about the White Sox series that they just had, that they had to sweep it. They went 2-1. The game they lost, they gave up two hits.
Framber was awesome.
It's brutal. So,
But this is emblematic of the Astros right now trying situations to buy in on them. Gil, they're not hitting all of a sudden, and they're pitching, but they have no pitching, but the pitching's been better.
it's a frustrating team. It's not like when I was on the Guardians in those 2 months, I could really count on them showing up, and then they were super gritty and in game, and they were resilient. The Astros, you're like, oh, they're just like lying dogs in some of these.
I don't know what it is, and the Guardians are another team that have flipped the script. They've gone from a team that won by pitching in low-scoring games to now they're crushing the baseball, and the pitching hasn't been as great. So I don't know what to do with some of these teams year to year, how much they flip-flop.
You said that you already – now, the markets are not up yet for July, but you said you already did a little schedule peek?
Yeah, look, I think the Mets, when we look at the run they've been on, and I am a Mets fan, I should point out, and I hate them.
Disclaimer.
I hate them. They've ruined my – being a Mets fan has made my life worse.
You are – it's like a – did Jeff Parles just show up again? He's the exact same way. Yeah.
I can trace a lot of my decisions in life being bad, starting with being a Mets fan. Like, that decision started a train wreck of events down the road. Like, the butterfly effect of me being a Yankee fan, I want to know what that life looks like, but I know it's better.
Oh, you should. I'm on text with Felica and Will Hill. They're Yankees fans. It's disgusting. You don't want to be those guys.
It's
either.
Obnoxious. It's annoying, but they have fun watching baseball.
They sure do.
Here's what I'd say. The Mets had a very brutal open to the year schedule-wise. They faced a lot of good teams. It's about to lighten up. And right before the All-Star break, if you're looking at July when that market comes up, they have 7 games against Washington before the All-Star break, 4 against Pittsburgh, 3 against Colorado in New York. You could get off to a very good start if the Mets continue to play the way they've been playing recently.
Yeah, we'll see what their number is, of course.
Yes.
Number dependent. The Mets, remember we did that analysis before June. The Mets had the fewest scheduled games in the month of June, only 24 games scheduled. And yet, here they are at 11-5, de facto fourth place, really. Not, you know, has tiebreakers involved, but actually they're right in fourth place by themselves at 11-5. So that has not hampered them. To this moment, anyway. We'll see how it ends. We'll come back, a little football strategy talk and some tennis picks.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Next week, we're releasing our VSiN NFL betting guide. This guide is your ultimate resource for the football season, packed with detailed team, division, and conference analyses. And of course, best bets for the upcoming NFL season. To get the guide, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber. Right now, you can sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription for just $199. That's down from the regular price of $240. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free. And with a VSiN Pro subscription, you'll get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you the upper hand all year long. Do not miss your chance to sign up and save ahead of the NFL season. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Use promo code ANG to claim your discount and bonus month. That's ANG, a numbers game, as Kelly would say. It's VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code ANG. It's Gil Alexander, Dustin Sweetelson in for Kelly Bidlin. Dustin, we're borrowing from Sharp Money for the day, though you're going to be on Sharp Money.
Yeah. It's a two-for-one special.
It is a two-for-one special. It's like when they give McDonald's gives a couple of those as a two-for-one.
Yeah, unfortunately, I know those all too well.
Yeah. Sorry to bring that up. Is the lack of ambient noise tripping you out at this hour of the morning?
Yeah, it's very odd. Obviously, I have a little PTSD walking in when it's still dark out here, as I did this morning from when I used to produce Follow the Money.
Yeah.
If you send me an email in all capitals, like capital letters, like Paulie Howard, I'll have real PTSD.
Yes. He hasn't found that button yet.
But it is weird being here this time of day for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super loud when you're here.
Oh, yeah. And Sigma Derby, there's people yelling the entire
show. We got that
show.
Too. Yeah, we got that.
The entire show.
It's coming. Ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, you may know him as the Bear. We know him as Chris Felica from Fox Sports. He joins us from lovely Los Angeles. What's happening, man?
So it's like the day-night doubleheader for Dustin there. Don't remember the old baseball, like, used to get like the day-night, stay there, like, beat game like it. 2 in the afternoon, and then I'd be 1 at 7.
Yeah,
that's what we got for Dustin there, the early and the late.
Yeah,
no, we're doing good. Yeah, you'd be very happy of what I did yesterday.
What'd you do?
I took a field trip to Arizona.
Oh wow!
I had some bets courtesy of DraftKings that I needed to use, or else I was gonna lose them. So I just hopped on a quick little flight to Phoenix. Literally spent 4 hours in the Delta Sky Club at Phoenix Airport and threw in some stuff on DraftKings and then flew back to LA.
That is impressive. I was going to say, you drove? No, got on a plane.
No.
I was going to say.
Exactly.
Chris was here one time, and he's like, hey, we went to dinner at the Aria. And so it's like, I don't know, 9 o'clock, and he's like, hey, can I borrow your car? I need to go to Arizona. And I thought he was joking. I'm like, yeah, I'm funny. He goes, and then the next day I was like, are you serious? He was like, yes, I was. So, I was like, oh, sorry.
So these bets were just placed in the airport? You flew to Arizona?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In the airport fly back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love this.
Bro, that is, can I tell you something? Like, the more this is sinking in, that is such a player move right there that you just made. That's the extra mile with the plane. Getting on a flight, hanging out in the airport. What was the time you spent in the airport before you headed back?
Four and a half hours.
This dude. Good for you. Okay. Well, you have a bunch of picks here, and I want to get to these. Starting with the Stanley Cup Finals. Game 6 tonight. The Edmonton Oilers trying to make history, and by history I mean trying to be the fifth team ever in the NHL playoffs to come back from a 3-0 deficit to win a best-of-seven series, and trying to be the second team ever to do so in a Stanley Cup Finals. The Toronto Maple Leafs in 1942. Man, 82 years ago, the only other team that could have pulled off this feat. Do I have that right? 82. Yes. All right. You, however, do not think this is going to happen. You are anti-history.
No, I'm anti-history because I do have a big Panthers position here to win the series. I'm curious to hear what Andy McNeil would get the vibe up there in Edmonton prior to Game 6 and knowing that he lives up there. But I like Florida tonight. I think they win. I think this has kind of gone a complete 180 from where we were when the Panthers took the 3-0 series lead. I think the fact that they're back in Edmonton, I think most people are kind of in the thought like, oh my God, they're gonna do this now, and Connor McDavid's gonna win the Conn Smythe, and I think he is gonna win the Conn Smythe. But if you look at what happened in the previous game, Florida completely dominated basically the last 35 minutes or so of that game, and we're extremely unfortunate to not tie that up. I think you're looking at Edmonton with another shorthanded goal off the one off the keister of the player in front of the net. They were fortunate, I think, to win that game. So I took Florida tonight. Plus, like, what are we looking at right now? Like 105, 110, something like that.
I'm seeing. I think the game, even money on our screen. Yeah.
Yeah. So I took them 105 plus 105. So not as good of a price right now, but not bad. But I have them to win the series already, and I double down to that. I think the series ends tonight.
Okay. Strong conviction. We shall see. Thank God for hockey, because basketball certainly didn't extend. All right, we're gonna crescendo to baseball and football, but let's get these others out of the way. LPGA, Nelly Korda, where do you stand with her? She's one shot back.
She's one shot back, and she made everything on the greens yesterday. Lexi Thompson leads right now. She's at my, and Nelly's at -3. I played her at 3-1 live to win this tournament. She was as high as 10-1 returning, and I messaged you and Will. Like, I'm on playing her at 10-1. It's kind of an off market price, I thought at that time. So I have her again. Double down. Played her 10-1 pre tournament, and I still think 3-1, one shot behind Lexi after with the way she putted yesterday, and the course kind of fits where she is. Look, I know she missed the cut in the previous major, but like, she basically had like a bad half hour in like the previous two events. So it was like basically a hole or two. And outside of that, she played really well. So I think she's going to wind up winning this week. So 3-1, I think, is a good number.
It's a good way. That's a good way to put it. A bad half hour. Okay. You are, by the way, and let me just also respond to the Andy McNeil comment. I texted Andy McNeil because I wanted his on the spot or down on boots on the ground Edmonton report. And he lost my number, apparently.
Oh, that's disappointing.
It's very disappointing. Let's go to soccer for a second. You are in L.A., obviously, with Fox to cover not only Euro Cup 2024, but also Copa America, and you have a play in both.
Yeah, I played under 2.5 in France, Netherlands. I know it looks like Mbappe is going to play, but the way the French play, especially in the group stage, they just sit, and wait and counter. And I think that kind of style here with Virgil van Dijk and Ake and the back line that the Dutch have, I don't know if they're necessarily going to get a ton of chances. Netherlands looked somewhat dangerous in the first game where they did get the comeback win over Poland. But I do think at the same time, the fact that both teams are sitting on 3 points, I don't think either would be disappointed to come out of here with a worth a point and be sitting on four going into the final group stage match. So I played under 2.5. We could have a pretty it's hard to say a match with Kylian Mbappe and all the stars on that French side could be kind of a snoozer, but I don't think this is going to be a thrilling match. I think this is going to be a very technical, strategical match. So I played under 2.5. And then in the Copa game tonight, I took Chile plus 115 against Peru. Peru is a team kind of in between, like really old or really young. They're one of the, I think they are the lowest ranked team in Bottom ball right now. So they don't have any stars really. It's nowhere near the same team that they had roughly about 8 years ago or so. At least Chile still have Alexis Sanchez and Osorio and Vargas and goal, like players who can get it done at this level of competition. So I took Chile plus 115 to win tonight against Peru.
All right, we got a couple really long shots here. One is for AL MVP. What is your thought?
Look, it's a dart throw, but put yourself in a mindset here where maybe Aaron Judge gets hurt, maybe the Orioles wind up winning the AL East, and the Minnesota Twins maybe make a comeback in the Central, and that all coincides with Royce Lewis coming back. He tore his hamstring, I think it was, first game of the year, and since coming back, I think he's got, 9 homers and 53 at-bats or something like that. He's hitting close to 380. So, like, what happens if the Twins wind up winning this division and it coincides with Lewis coming back and the Yankees maybe not winning, that the Mariners really don't have an MVP candidate? I played him yesterday at 200-1 to win AL MVP. Now, I've certainly made worse, stupider bets in my life, but I don't want to say I think this really has a chance, but I'd be surprised if Lewis's price didn't get super short by the end of the year, especially if the Yankees wind up not winning that AL East.
Royce Lewis slash line right now, 377, 452, 925. Pretty, pretty good. And then, of course, your bread and butter is college football. You have a KG Heisman bet.
Yeah, I don't think people expect anything other than Will Howard to be the Ohio State quarterback this year, especially being that they went after him in an AL and they brought him in because they were kind of uncertain. I can see a scenario where Howard starts the year at quarterback. However, they don't play anybody early on. And we see Julian Sayin get a good bit of time to develop throughout the year. Sayin, he originally committed to Alabama and wound up transferring to Ohio State. He is a dual threat guy who was the number one quarterback in the country. I played him at 100-1 to win the Heisman because I think there's a scenario that by the time the big money games for Ohio State, Oregon, and Michigan at the end of the year happen, Sayin's the starting quarterback, and I'd like to be holding 100-1 on a team that's going to be number one or number two in the country.
That is an outstanding Chris Felica segment right there. Thank you, Chris. Enjoy L.A.
Appreciate you guys.
Man got on a plane, made a bet in Arizona, flew right back. Good for him. We're coming back with Jason Weingart next.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by DraftKings here at Bar Cannon at the D. It's Gil Alexander, Dustin Sweetelson, kind enough to do double duty today. 2-for-1. Not only is he filling in for Kelly Bidlin this morning on a numbers game, but also filling his typical role as Patrick Maher's co-host and producer on Sharp Money, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. weekdays, including today. And you started the show by saying you are a doppelganger for Kelly, just different coloring.
Yeah, I think there's a section of the audience waking up right now who is like color adjusting their TV set because they're like, wait, Kelly's hair is darker. I'm not sure what's going on here. No, it's just another fat guy with a beard. That's all we have going on here. Also, Gil, I love the way you're like, oh, he's kind enough to come here. As if they gave me a choice.
I was trying to hook you up. I was trying to make it seem like you were like, you know, I'd like to do that show.
I'd like to work twice in one day. Who doesn't want to do that?
Bro, I did it for 2 years.
Yeah, that's crazy talk.
Yeah, I don't know what I was doing. We get tweets. We get texts. Michael Montesano, who was the Circa Booby Prize winner in the first Circa Millions. He says, I have Jackson Merrill 50-1. Let's go. Also have Skeens 25-1, he says. This is from Richard Palma. Richard Palma said, Shabbat Shalom. Dude, triple tribesman Friday. L'chaim, as Dustin said. And then Fezzik, who's going to be joining us. Steve Fezzik is going to join us for three segments here momentarily, who you and Patrick are super familiar with because you all have him on all the time. The only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day. He was commenting on our talk about the monthly season wins in baseball. And I want to get his exact quote, but I don't have it. We'll have him here momentarily. But basically, he was saying, think about how difficult it is to win that, and then think about how difficult it is to win some other season-long stuff. Did you get that text as well?
Yeah. Also, he doesn't know this, but we're going to see if something I'm doing lately that is currently 3-2 this week, this new strategy I have.
Oh, he's going to kill you.
If I'm going to make his head explode where he tells me it's not positive EV, you're an idiot.
Dustin sent me something that we wanted to talk about. I'm like, save that for Fezzik, just because I want to see Dustin just get destroyed. Just get screamed at by Steve Fezzik. Here's what his comment goes. MLB best records June shows how damn hard it is to hit 70% for a year in a contest. You've got teams that are playing 600 ball and none of them, he messes up with a type because he voices it. None of them are you been able to hit 700 ball for a 20 game small trial. What he's saying is it's just, yes, there's always some team, I believe, that catches fire is what he's trying to say there. Well, we'll get it. It's as if we don't have him. We'll have him on. We'll talk
voice to text, by the way. That is an age thing.
He's old. He's old. He doesn't have the strength to use his fingers to actually text us something. Paul Carr joins us from Topeka, Kansas, everybody, from the heartland, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, to talk some soccer with us. But also... a little bit of Willie Mays as well. Before we get to you, Paul, and thank you for joining us, let us play a little Barry Lamar Bonds. This is Willie Mays' godson before the game yesterday on Fox, talking about the event itself. This is on the Fox desk. Facing Satchel Paige.
Up, but we had a conversation earlier and we were talking about the players that you would want to play with that played against the Negro Leagues. Now, playing against both of you, you two were probably two of the most confident players I ever played against. Tell me right now, on the spot, what would you do against Satchel Paige?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Gone. You have lost your mind, Gina. Gone. Simple. Gone. Read about it on ESPN, Fox, whatever else you want to talk about. You got to believe in yourself. If I don't believe in me, who going to believe in me?
That's right.
I'm a drag button.
Derek, you said
I'm drag button.
I'm going to take all those people off the field.
We're going to race to first.
Care, gone.
You done lost your mind, Jeter. Not lacking for confidence, Barry Bonds, who, by the way, I'm sure the Fox people were thrilled when he threw out ESPN in the middle of that. I'm sure they were thrilled.
Oh, yeah.
Paul,
yeah, good job.
You have a Willie Mays story, yes?
Well, yeah. So my sister lives out in the Bay Area, and a few years ago, she's out and about, and they're at a bookstore, and there's this line for something. She's not really sure what. And she sees this, you know, the placard that's up is like Willie Mays signing autographs. My sister is not a sports fan. She knows who Willie Mays is. So just saying something to his legacy and fame, especially out in the Bay Area. So she got in line, got an autograph. I got an autographed Willie Mays baseball for Christmas a few years ago.
Wow.
Which is pretty
That's
cool.
Awesome. Yeah.
You can't, like, a signature's not obvious. I opened up. I generally didn't know who it was. But, you know, a little bit of Googling and doing the math on where my sister would have gotten something and eventually figured it out.
Beloved by everyone, but certainly by everyone in the Bay Area, for sure. Permanent fixture at Giants games throughout these years that I was living there, and oftentimes in a wheelchair in the later years, of course, but just a fixture there. And 93 years old, of course. And just a shame that he wasn't able to quite experience the game yesterday, but he did write about it a few days earlier. Okay, Paul, we have soccer every which way. Where do you want to start here?
Look at Euros. Let's look at today. How about France and Netherlands today? Want to start there?
Let's do it. Because you mentioned this game yesterday or the day before. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have a ton more clarity on whether Kylian Mbappe would play. I think it's leaning toward that he will in some capacity. Again, he broke his nose in the last game. We'll likely have to wear a mask in this contest. So, but we think he's going to play. And honestly, look, he's maybe the best player in the world. It obviously matters if he plays, but France is deep enough that I think they can handle Netherlands without him. So I have France to win at +125 in this one. Again, the depth is there. They may look a little different in how they defend and attack, but they still have plenty of options. And the Dutch, their midfield's not quite the same without Frankie de Jong, the Barcelona star, who's not here because of injury. So again, going with the better team here, I like France to win at 125.
The old Paul Carr going with the better team handicap on that. What about Turkey and Portugal? This is tomorrow.
Yeah, this one has the potential to get a little nuts. So Portugal is just loaded with attackers. And even if you're not dialed into the European club game, I can tell you they have a guy from Man City and Manchester United and AC Milan and all these different clubs and PSG. And I keep going just in like their front five or six. So they're just loaded up top. And that's what they do. Roberto Martinez is their head coach. He's an offense first kind of guy. And Turkey is kind of a poor man's version of that. They don't have quite as many stars, but they still tend to go for broke. So I think I like the over in this one, over 3.5 plus 190. It's got the potential to be open. They also both won their first games. So, you know, they're a little bit loose in this one. You know, it's not like they have to tighten up and get a point or three. They can go for it a little bit more. And I think that sets up for a lot of goals here.
All right. Since we don't have the opportunity to talk to you during the weekend, let's go to Sunday. Germany is playing Switzerland. I sent you a text before you get into your thoughts on this. Who was Germany playing in the first game? Who did they play?
Scotland.
Okay. So we're watching it, Kelly and I, right? It's on the screen behind us. I think it was right after the show because the game starts right after we get off. And Germany, they're in the Scotland penalty box, and one of their players just pushes one of the Scotland defenders to the ground, right? And it sets up a goal opportunity, and they score the goal. And so I text you, but I also texted Felica, who was on the set there, and I go, let me get this straight. In soccer, in soccer, if a defender in the penalty box so much as like coughs on you, right? They're like, oh, PK, here, take it, which is essentially right a free goal. Like the percentage on PKs is very high. It's like a one nil lead in a soccer game it's like a 14-0, 17-0 lead in an American football game, for God's sakes. But an offensive player apparently can just shove a defender down and, oh, that's fine. Yeah, go ahead. That's, you know, that's okay. And so I tested Felica that, and he said he showed it to Alexi Lalas, and Alexi Lalas was like, that is the greatest explanation of soccer I've ever heard. Like, it's ridiculous, right? What am I missing here?
I mean, nothing. I think you have a pretty much perfect grasp on the realities of the situation. So I commend you for your soccer knowledge.
But what kind of sport are we? How's that fair?
Here's the equivalent to me is in the NFL, there's offensive pass interference. I'd say almost as often as defensive pass interference, and it never gets called. You know, the receiver just shoves the DB out of the way and makes the catch, and that's fine because, you know, we want to see touchdowns or something.
Right, but again, you don't.
Defender pulls on his towel.
Right, but it
and
doesn't.
They get 25 yards.
It's huge, but it's not quite as huge as a penalty kick, right? Like, correct. Yeah. I hear you, though. Anyway, I'm sorry.
There's almost nothing as impactful as a penalty call. And yeah, I wish there was some way to change it. You know, there's all kinds of crazy theories out there. Change the size of the box or, you know, take the penalties from further away if the foul is further away from goal. My one thing I would tweak is I would just have, if you draw the penalty, you have to take the penalty. But you don't get, you know, Lionel Messi to come take all your penalties for you if you draw a foul.
That's true, right? The Harry Kane axiom. I know you loved it, though, because you're on Germany. What do you feel about this particular match, though?
So it's important to note that, again, we are into the third day, or this is Switzerland-Germany on Sunday is the first day of the third set of group games. So you got to know your scenarios and what's going on here. Germany has already advanced. By game time, Switzerland may have already advanced because third place teams go through, so you got to let the other group games play out today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
So Germany has little incentive. Switzerland may have little incentive. So I like under 2.5 at plus 105 here, because especially on the Switzerland side, if they, you know, rest a few people or don't go for it in the same way because 4 points already gets them through, then this could be kind of a, you know, a training exercise or kicking the ball around a little bit. I don't anticipate either team having the urgency. It's always a little scary to bet an under when Germany is involved, but getting plus money, plus 105, I'll take under 2.5 for this one.
Okay. Those are the three picks from Paul Carr. Once again, France to win it versus the Netherlands today. Turkey, Portugal over 3.5 goals at big plus money tomorrow. And then Switzerland, Germany with the under 2.5 goals for the explanation because of the explanation just given. Before you go, 30 seconds. You live in Kansas. We were just talking about the game at Rickwood Field yesterday. You are close to the Negro League Museum. You say it's worth every moment of it there. Yep.
Yeah, I've been a handful of times, several times, and you just wander through. And if you read every single thing on there, I mean, you could be there for hours. But there's just so much cool memorabilia, pictures, pennants, placards, whatever it is, that it's just a great experience for any baseball or historian fan.
Okay. I love that. Paul, thank you. Good luck with all the bets, man.
Welcome. Have a good weekend.
Paul Carr, at Paul Carr, the host of the Expected Value podcast, and of course, works at True Media Networks, spreading analytics around. That's what he do. Steve Fezzik on the shield here with me and Dustin. That is next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live here from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander and Dustin Sweetelson in for Kelly Bidlin. Thank you for doing this, Dustin. I know Dustin says he's being held hostage and he has to do it, but I appreciate you doing it nonetheless. You will be on Sharp Money coming up at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
3 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, 3 p.m. Oh, I keep saying the wrong thing. 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific.
Like, when you choose this career,
yes.
No one ever tells you how much time zones will play a role in your day-to-day and how often you will just accidentally get them wrong. Because as the producer texting people in multiple time zones, I try to know what time zone they're in and convert to mine. And then some of them are traveling to other time zones, and we never know what time people are on.
3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific, 1 p.m. Mountain.
There it goes.
Got to get Mountain in there. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from NH Better. Love the double dose of Dustin Sweetelson today. Worried he wouldn't be on Sharp Money. Oh, no. He'll be on there. Paper Mike, are you sure you're not filling in for Kelly because he had shin surgery?
That's my bit. I do it with Adam Burke. I did it with Kelly. I do it with Ben Wilson. Whenever they're not on a show that I work with them on, I tell everyone to wish them well because they had complications from calf replacement surgery.
Well, you know, in the case of Kelly, he actually did get injured. When Matt, me and him did this field goal bet.
It looked bad.
No. Yeah.
Kelly, I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah. Kelly was like, we're just throwing the pass. We're just acting stupid and we're just throwing passes. And Kelly like went out for a pass and he like completely.
I sent it to Dr. Chow. He said he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Yeah.
You and Kelly also went to an athletic thing. You guys were like wearing jeans and button downs and Matt Brown was dressed in like spandex.
Yeah. Because Matt was the one who was on the line there. Yeah. We weren't doing anything. Bruce Dobigan, watching the touching Willie Mays ceremony in Birmingham, Alabama. What's sad is that the sports media who eat up this stuff never report. Oh, this is not true, Bruce. He said Black America has abandoned baseball. 7% of MLB players, 12% Black American population. Bruce, that's not true. They've not abandoned. There is not a conscious abandonment of Major League Baseball. There's a lot of factors that are involved in that, including facilities that are available and equipment that is available. And it's much more complicated than what you're making it out to be. Travis Sweet. I saw Steve crossing. This is for you, Stevie. I saw Steve crossing the strip in front of the Cromwell earlier this week and shook his hand. This is from Travis Sweet. He said he had a big smile and gave me a big hello. Super nice guy. Travis, he is. In real life, he's a super nice guy. Why is he not on Twitter? Steve?
There's a movie called Gung Ho.
Yeah.
Where like a child is really misbehaving.
Yeah.
And so the guy's boss is there, and and the Japanese child comes in and says G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe, and he's shooting a machine gun, fake one, and the gung ho, the Japanese engineer says, "That's neighbor's child. That's not me.
That's not me." Okay, I've teased this a couple times. You would like to give a shout out to the Westgate, first of all.
Yeah, so spot on with the Westgate games of the year. I've got my little packet here, so we got every game, including Week 18, nobody does this. I mean, there's so much uncertainty.
The squirreliest week of them all.
Is Buffalo going to be playing their starters? What's going on with Kansas City and the like? And not only are they dealing every side, they're dealing every total.
Wow.
And they're dealing it, here's the key, at minus 110. Not this minus 115, which is plaguing our industry, and we're seeing it even with team totals. On week one, people are posting team totals routinely at minus 115, and one book just put up minus 120 in town on their games of the year. So
who did that?
I don't want to say.
Okay.
So good job, Westgate. I'm running out of places to play in the town. So I'm like mental. No, let's try. Let's just focus. Let's focus people on the positives. So Jay Cornegay, and his crack staff, great job with, doing this.
And so you reviewed, because you want, you're the type of guy that when you find out this stuff is coming out, you are very keen on, oh, this is actually something special. You recognize that immediately. So you dive into it, and something caught your eye here.
Yeah, so I already bet a whole bunch of these. So I don't have a game of the year, because I bet like 20 of them. But I was just looking through the schedule. I said, oh, this one's good. So
we say on this show.
I'm going to give out a week 8 play, right angle sports style right now. Yes.
Are we going to move some lines?
We are going to sell. You're going to go week 8, go to the Westgate. They're apps open. Go to the Westgate.
If you're doing it right angle sports style, you have to give a dummy play first, and everybody's put in their bets.
I'm going to give the play, and it's, I'm either going to say go.
That's right.
I'm going to say cancel, or I'm going to say opposite, oppo, one of those three. So any of you people out there jumping the gun,
that's right,
trying to take your little fat thumb and press enter before everyone else. No. I might go. This might well be an opposite play. I'm warning everyone, so don't play
it. Don't confuse people. Let's just do the go.
Okay, we're going to go to 8. Well, that just gave it away.
Well, okay.
All right, week 8. Game 802976. You know I like giving rotations.
You love rotation numbers.
Set up the Green Bay Packers +1 at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I can't pronounce that. Set up the Packers +1 at the Jaguars. That's week 8 at the Westgate. Go. We are betting the Packers +1. My handicap is very simplistic here. When this game is actually played, the Packers will be laying 2.5 or 3, I predict.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay, because you asked, just to pull back the curtain here, you asked me and Dustin during the break, a couple breaks ago, you said, without looking, and we didn't, what would you make a week 8 line between the Packers at the Jaguars? I said Jaguars -2.5. Justin then said Jaguars -2, you said? Okay.
Two.
And you reacted, you're like, what was your reaction to that? So we weren't far off at all.
Right. Well, I would make the case that the Jaguars are like the 8 of clubs. When they're the most nondescript card in the deck. They have like almost no home field advantage, and they're just an average team with a very overpaid quarterback. Whereas the Packers are a little bit overhyped. They're a little bit like, getting Super Bowl contender consideration. But the bottom line is the Packers are a clear-cut playoff team. And Jacksonville is an average team. And so a clear playoff contender, they got to be laying 2 at least at the Jaguars, where I don't consider the home field to be worth more than a point.
You think the way that the NFL season will go, that the Packers will end up being a road favorite there. Interesting. So that's a go. Packers +1 from Stevie, week number 8, if you have access to games of the year. Did you hear, by the way, since you bring up Trevor Lawrence and this, again, I've talked about it ad nauseum here, where it's, absolutely this cruel moment in NFL franchises' arcs where they've got to make a decision on a quarterback that they're like, yeah, he's good, but I don't know if he's going to win us the Super Bowl, but what's the alternative? Here's $250 million, guaranteed. Did you see this proposal now where the NFL, a few NFL owners are starting to bring up this issue where they want to give quarterbacks, we'll see if this gains steam, they want to make the quarterback position a separate category under the salary cap. So I always say you win a Super Bowl with a Hall of Fame quarterback or a quarterback who's overperforming on a rookie salary, and then you can pay everybody else. What's happening is this very thing that I'm talking about, this cruel moment in NFL franchise's arc where they have to, all right, well, I guess we're going to have to give, Kirk Cousins the whole farm or Matt Ryan when he was in Atlanta. Drew Brees is a different example because he actually won a Super Bowl. But some of these, you understand, this level of quarterback, Dak, where you just don't know if they're going to win you a Super Bowl or not. And so the NFL owners are starting to say, a few, it's gaining steam, let's just give the quarterbacks their own cap because it's getting out of hand for that position. Now, we'll see what the NFL Players Association has to say about that, because they protect all positions.
It's like NBA, they give them a max deal. You can't give a quarterback more than $47 million a year or something.
Right. Well, it's going to be interesting because the NFLPA represents all players, including quarterbacks. So they may say, yeah, no, sorry, you can't do that because we have to protect quarterbacks. Or they may say, well, we're protecting all these other players too. Maybe there'll be a trickle-down effect and the other players will get paid more as a result of this cap.
It's a separate cap where it wouldn't affect the regular. The regular cap would be the rest of the roster, and then there'd be a quarterback cap for just quarterback.
I like the way it is because now if you want to overpay for a quarterback, then you got to pay the piper and have a bunch of crappy special teams players.
I'm with you. It makes it more interesting.
Yes.
What did you determine? We got 90 seconds left. What did you determine about? Have you made a determination about the new kickoff rules? Has it?
Yeah,
you have to see it first, though, don't you?
Yeah. To summarize, I'll go quickly. Yeah. So you got your kicker is kicking off from the 35, but everyone else is going to be on the other side of the field, the receiving side of the field. So the people covering the kicker are going to be on the 40, and the people blocking on the 30 to 35. And there's going to be two dudes that are returning the kick, and I forecast the average field position is going to be the 29-yard line. So the better field position means more scoring. I think to answer your question, scoring will go up by about 1 point. The optimal kick to kick is to ideally you get a kicking specialist that can kick the most ugly corkscrewing left-footed if possible, hard to catch ball that's coming down. You'll appreciate this, Gilly, close to what I'll call the baseline, right there where the end zone is. Because if it goes into the baseline in the end zone on fly, you get the ball in the 20. So if you're returning the kick, it's like when you and I play tennis, you're like, oh, that's a Fezzik duck that's going to land close to the base. Do I hit it? Do I let it bounce?
Yeah.
It's very difficult. You want to make a tough decision for the kick returner.
Wow, 1 point. That is your assessment so far.
Yes.
Subject to change, I guess. We'll see what happens.
It's clear cut to me. It's clear cut.
Not subject
to change. Just under
a point.
0.85 points.
It's like this guy's confident in the stuff he says, Dustin. Dustin, round of applause for Dustin. He'll be on Sharp Money here in a few hours. Thank you, sir. Dustin, a pleasure.
Good yontif.
As the college campuses protests continue. Come back. Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.